On the Claire, Matt and Kimber catch-up, what's the weirdest thing you have eaten? Our extended chat with Professor Brian Cox, and Matt preempts a potential deal-breaker in his relationship.
Bing, bong, ding, dong, ding, 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 ding.
Welcome back.
You can never have too much Claire, Matt and Kimber, but you're probably paying way too much for gas. So switch to Origin. Find out more at originenergy.com.au.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber on your computer. Gosh, how high tech. Enjoy this podcast. Everything Perth.
The restaurateur business in Perth really changed, didn't it? The last few years we've been talking about how much incredible food we can get from Perth now. It's such amazing restaurants.
It was the topic of the night the other night at Crown Towers at the Good Food Guide night. You know, they were all saying the same thing.
We're all about our food. And finally, Perthites can enjoy edible insects
at
their leisure. Yes, you can now get your protein from edible crickets. This company Grubs Up, which is founded by Paula Pownall from her Coolup home.
Yep.
She's put it together, been researching for years, and now they finally hit the market and you can eat as many crickets as you like.
Well, you know, it's a good thing, right? I'm certainly, you know, it's been talked about for quite some time that insects could be the answer to our food problems.
True.
Because there's lots of them and they're very, very good for you. They're very high in protein.
Yep.
And, you know, I've been in Thailand and I've sat there with a beer and eaten crickets like you would eat beer nuts.
Well, they're incredibly high in protein. Yeah, I was surprised myself. It's 69% protein level when you look at crickets. Chicken only gives you 23% and eggs 12%. So, and they're also, crickets are low in fat and they're high in vitamin B12, folate acid and essential amino acids too.
From the ones that you've eaten though, is there any taste to them or is it just what's been done to them to give them the taste?
They taste quite nutty.
Okay.
Really. And you know, these are the full crickets. Yeah. I mean, you there's no doubt what you're eating. I noticed this woman does like a dukkah as well, which is sort of mashed up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it'll look like a dust. Mm. But no, they have a nutty, they're quite nice to eat.
So it's more the psychological thing to get over about squirmy, yucky things.
I mean, every culture has weird foods, right? I mean, Polish people, I've watched my babcia do all sorts of weird things with intestines and brains and whatnot.
I suppose it's what you grow up with too. I mean, Janelle Koenig from The Jam, she was in here a few months ago telling us that she's got a friend who makes her like chicken feet soup and like that, which I'm not adventurous. I don't try, I mean, because I'm vegetarian probably, but I don't really try any sorts of unusual foods.
Yeah, there's not many different ways you can eat carrots, are there?
No, not too many.
You could boil carrots.
What's the weirdest thing you've eaten, Claire?
Well, it hasn't been a bug. I haven't gone the bug territory, but as a kid, I remember eating black pudding for the first time
because
old man had some English friends and we were camping. And it wasn't until later that Dad said, that's coagulated blood. I still didn't know what the word meant, but I just went, okay. But the bugs, you sound like you had quite a few, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was in Thailand with the mango and his wife, and that's what you eat at the bar. Yeah. We had it many times. Yeah, snacking on bugs.
How many would you eat? Like, if you were snacking on bugs, like, how many crickets would I know is a snack to go with a drink or
It's like anything, Kimber. It's all about moderation. I think a handful should be enough.
Okay.
A handful of crickets.
Yeah, maybe some cockroaches as a cheese alternative for the month for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there are weird things out there, and I would love to hear, you know, maybe it's not even weird anymore. Bugs, there's got to be weirder stuff than that.
Absolutely.
I've said weird four times, but there you go. That's how weird it is.
Well, give us a call, 1333 53, and tell us what is the weirdest thing you've eaten, and you could win our Caller of the Day prize.
Yeah, a couple of tickets. Your last chance to secure tickets to see Jack Johnson, the very cool man, the former surfer from Hawaii, sold-out show at Kings Park Botanic Garden, Wednesday, December 6th, and last time at Kings Park about 3 years ago, just a brilliant night. Bruising.
Clancy, Matt and Kimber, weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
We want to know what is the weirdest thing you have eaten.
And it's starting to sneak onto reality TV as well.
Stinky food. Oh, fetid, befouled, spoiled, decadently rotten, fermented soybeans. Wiggly food. Food that looks scary. They're absolutely horrifying looking. And tastes scarier.
That's that Andrew guy. Eats everything.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Karen's in Fremantle. Karen, what is the weirdest thing you've eaten?
Hi, guys. Well, I was in Cairo in Egypt, and our tour guide took us to this restaurant, and we just gave him carte blanche to order, but we still looked, you know, some sort of kebab-type food and meat and veggies and stuff. Anyway, the plate came out, looked gorgeous, started eating it, and I took what I thought was a piece of chicken, and I thought, oh, it doesn't look that well cooked. And the texture was a little bit sort of jelly-like. Anyway, I said, Tamara, excuse me, can you just tell me what this is? Is this chicken? And he started giggling and he said, no, it's the sheep's sexual organs. That vomited all my meat back up on the plate. It was absolutely horrifying.
It's mind over matter, isn't it, Karen? As soon as you know, you can't continue.
Oh, no, I couldn't. But yes, it was an experience that my husband and friends have much mirth about, I tell you.
Oh, I bet, Karen. And if you're going to eat that part of anyone's body, you want it to be well cooked.
Yes, exactly. That was the foreplay.
Hey! Karen,
excellent, Karen.
We need to get the word on the radio somehow this morning. Let's go to 2J. G'day, Doug. What's the weirdest thing you've eaten?
Bush tucker, bunga, turtle, crocodile, snake, emu.
Oh, yeah.
What did you say it was?
Bush tucker.
Bunga. It's a big lizard.
A lizard?
It's a big lizard. It's a bit like I think it's a monitor lizard or something.
Yep.
It's a long lizard. Absolutely beautiful. When they say everything tastes like chicken, they're right. Everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah. Was it all cooked for you properly? Was it all cooked for you properly? Did you have?
Yeah, they do it. They do it really weird. I watched it get cooked, and they burn it first, and then the way they cook it, you wouldn't expect it to taste nice.
Okay.
Also, they try to feed me roux stew one day, and I was halfway through the bowl. I'm thinking, this is lovely. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
What is it? Oh, it's roux. And they all start laughing. I'm thinking, oh, can I have another bowl? And then I paid for it the next morning because your digestive system ain't used to it.
Yeah,
you could understand the next day.
Different foods.
Still, wouldn't stop you going back for another serve later, would it, Doug?
Oh, no. I mean, bush tucker, I recommend it. I mean, you've got to try it. I mean, you've got to do those experiences in life and get out of your comfort zone and, you know, just try a few things in life. I mean, life's too short to be put in a box all the time.
Good attitude, Doug. Just be careful with the second bowl of the Skippy soup. Well done, buddy.
All right. Andrew in Jindalee. Andrew, what did you eat?
Yeah, guys, I just got back from Vietnam. I had a deep-fried tarantula.
Oh,
good on you. The best spider is a dead spider.
Well, that's the thing. I'm petrified of spiders, and we're just working it out. And I was like, yeah, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
And, they actually keep them live in little reed kind of cages, and you get to pick the sucker that you want to eat.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, and then they literally, it's almost cruel. It's very quick, but it's a hot boiling vat of like oil, and they go straight in there, and then they cool it off for you and wipe it down with some grass leaf, and the legs. Wow. I will say the legs tasted great. Okay. But the abdomen, it's like a...
Oh, yuck.
It's a killed marshmallow of...
You know what? Karen's Egypt story is starting to sound good, Andrew.
Deep fried marshmallow, but it's a belly of a tarantula.
And did anyone go to you... Are you going to eat your fangs?
No, I didn't eat the head area or the fang area at all. But, did the abdomen and that was me done. I was done for the rest of the day.
Well, wicked.
Done, I think I am now. Cheers, Andrew.
Andrew's he's turned into Peter Parker. Thanks, mate. Let's go to East Freo. Jody, what's the weirdest thing you've eaten?
Oh, hi, guys. I was in South Korea as a young adolescent with my parents in the late 80s. And as a young adolescent, I think I was just sitting at the table eating some chips, but they served up some other things, but amongst them were some sliced up sausage and things like that. And my parents were hoeing into it, and then through the interpreter we found out that this sliced up sausage was actually dog doodle.
Oh, we're back to the doodles.
See, that would break my heart. That would break my heart. There's animals mom, that you just poor, go...
Yeah, my poor mum went green.
Yes.
Well, when in Rome or when in Seoul, I guess, you know.
No, thanks.
Good on you, Jody, and well done for trying it.
The Seoul food right there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jode. You feeling okay, Kimber?
No.
You've been squirming and around over there just a little bit.
Of course, there was people that had tried dugong, which, of course, our Indigenous people have been eating forever.
Absolutely.
Of course, a lot of people eat flowers and all sorts of stuff. So, you know.
Try it.
You never know.
You may like it.
None of it was cheese, Kimber.
None of it.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Ah, thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's the Howie Games, and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Look, it is a rare ability, someone who's very, very bright, to have the ability to make the complex things that happen on our planet and in our solar system, make them into fun and understandable facts.
Yeah.
And Professor Brian Cox is one of those people. He's one of the world's foremost communicators in all things scientific, and he's coming back to Perth. In fact, you'll see him in a couple of weeks at the Riverside Theatre here in Perth. Brian Cox, Professor, welcome.
Yeah, very well, thank you. Great to be back in Australia.
We're looking forward to your show. Now, Brian, there's just too many scientific and planetary questions to ask, but what are the themes of this year's show?
Well, it's last year when I was here, I talked quite a lot about the origin of the universe and what we knew or what we know about how it all began. So I thought this year I'd talk about how it might end.
Oh,
so it's going to be very heavily focused on the end of time, the end of the universe, the end of the solar system, which sounds, I suppose, a bit miserable in a way, but it isn't. It's my job to convince everyone that even though in this universe that's going to carry on expanding forever, there will come a point when it's not possible for life to exist at all anywhere in the universe, and so the future is utterly bleak.
And I suppose it depends whether or not the world is ending, you know, next year, or whether we've got some time up our sleeves as well.
Yeah, well, I should say that, we're talking about trillions of years in the future. So we've got a few trillion years to, as long as we can get away from this solar system, which, you know, many people want to do now, given the state of international politics. But we can. There will be stars that shine for many, not billions, but trillions of years. So we've kind of got time.
I'm actually, Kimber's sitting next to me here, Brian, and she's a star that continues to shine. It's a wonderful thing. Now, my friend,
the longest lived stars actually are stars called red dwarfs. So I don't know whether that's a good nickname or not.
We'll try and make it work.
She'll take anything I can give her at the moment, buddy. She's giving up cheese. Brian, you know, you're such a wonderful communicator of these massive ideas, you know, following a long line of people like Carl Sagan and indeed dear Sir Richard Attenborough. And yet, you know, do you wonder if your message is getting through? I note that last year was a massive spike in CO2 not seen on this planet for 800,000 years. I mean, are we moving forward? Do you see your message and your wonderment of this universe and our world? You know, are we getting it? Are we getting the message to protect this home?
I think in some sense, yes, and in some sense, no. Because as you said, the big problems here, someone was telling me yesterday that the Great Barrier Reef, you know, one of the wonders of the world, is probably fatally damaged now. So there are certainly big challenges. I think the main challenge is to connect the astonishing advances we've made in science and technology that we all take for granted. So increased life expectancy, but also our mobile phones and flying halfway around the world in 12 hours. You know, these things, we have to connect those with this way of thinking, which is quite a humble way of thinking. It's saying that nature is complicated and wonderful and spectacular. And although it's difficult, we have to strive to understand it. And when we do understand it, then we make tremendous advances that affect everybody. So this is not just an intellectual pursuit. It's not just, well, a few boffins can work out how old the universe is. This is about, as I said, increasing our life expectancy, making our lives better and more exciting. And I think there is optimism. I made a BBC show, actually, a few months ago about commercial spaceflight, and I spoke to Jeff Bezos of Amazon and Elon Musk and Richard Branson, and all of these people are now putting their energy into rocket companies.
Yeah.
So why? And the answer is, Jeff Bezos put it best, actually. He said that we want a future that's better than the past. We want an exciting future where our civilization and our knowledge expand and there's an exciting frontier for people to go to. And that's within our grasp. Now we have the technology for the first time to build reusable rockets that can go up into space, deliver things to the space station and come back and land again. And that's a big deal. I just flew to landed in Sydney yesterday. Imagine if when we landed in Sydney from London, then we all got off the plane and then we blew it up.
Imagine how expensive
that ticket would be. Yeah. That's what we used to do with rockets, but we don't anymore. So I think that there is an extremely bright future for us. But you're right that we've just got to make sure that people, and we live in a democracy, so it's the people that count, that they are given the information to connect the science and this way of thinking about nature with the things that affect them.
Yeah, Brian, I'm adding to one of your many talents, mind reader, because my next question was this. Our fascination with Mars here on Earth now, it has become, it's almost surpassed our old fascination with the moon. When you look at people like Elon Musk and that talking about going to Mars, do you ridicule it in any way, or do you think it's all quite feasible?
No, it's feasible. I mean, Elon Musk, one thing that he's taught us is that he says these outlandish things and then he does them. So he does have, I went to his company and it's in Los Angeles, so he does have a rocket company and it's full of rockets and he's building them and he's flying them. So that, I mean, Mars gets quite close to Earth actually. In 2033, the early 2030s. Yep. So I guess, if I had to put money on it, that someone will go there in or around 2030, which is only, you know, sort of 13, 14 years away.
Okay,
so now, I think he'll do it.
Well, Brian, we see you are doing this show with your comedian mate and radio co-host, Robin Ince.
Yeah.
Can you see Robin's scientific knowledge growing over time?
Oh yeah, Robin. You'll see that he's not really very showbiz in his dress sense, and the reason for that is that he turns up with one set of clothes and about 50 books.
Right,
so that's what his suitcase is, not full of clothes. He doesn't care about that; it's full of books. So he knows more about a wider range of subjects than anyone I've ever met. I think he's an interesting individual, but his sartorial sense is compromised as a result.
He's got his priorities right.
Now, Brian, we have to sort of wrap it up, but here I just want to hit you with the big question, right?
Yep.
So, first of all, the question's like, is there life anywhere else in the universe, and will Oldham Athletic ever get out of League One? Are these do you think you'll see the answers to these questions in your lifetime?
Life elsewhere in the universe, we think there might be life subsurface on Mars now or on the moons of Jupiter or Saturn, and I'll talk a little bit about that actually in the show. I've got to say, with my spectacular LED screen, which is about 25 or 30 metres across, I can't remember how big it is, but it's just the most amazing thing. So yeah, Oldham Athletic, I was a season ticket holder when Oldham Athletic were founder members of the Premier League.
Right.
So we did have glory days in the 1980s when Joe Royle was manager. So, it can happen.
It can.
Glory days. We're finally after an unusually cool spring, Professor, heading for 30 degrees today. When you're in town, can you drop in? Because I still, after 2 years, can't work out the alkalinity and pH in my pool. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I can come do a bit of pool work.
Thanks, bud. You can have a swim. Have a swim while you're there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Claire's Matt and Kimber, weekdays for breakfast on Mix 94.5.
Every morning I get up too early. It makes me surly getting up that early. Matt's World.
Now, I told you guys that I finally got English Premier League, on my TV, and I was worried how that was going to affect the relationship.
Because you couldn't convince your girlfriend to watch it.
No, I couldn't. And God bless her, she tried.
Mm. She did try. And you felt a bit guilty about it as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I do. Mm. And I've got a Manchester United shirt that I wanted to get into and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, we're negotiating that. But then I realised, because Adam Gilchrist and Mitchell Johnson walked in the building yesterday.
They did. Mm-hmm.
And I got a bit giddy.
Mm. Oh, you were fangirling on the cricketers.
Well, I don't think you realise just how much I love the cricket.
Mm.
I don't think you realise what November and the beginning of an Ashes series means to me.
I don't like cricket.
I love it, man.
You're practically Chris Gayle this time of year.
I mean, I just love it so much.
All the games, I mean, they have about 400 different versions of cricket.
I know, and I'll watch them all. And I don't know how she's going to cope. Because when I say I like watching the cricket, I like watching the cricket the whole 5 days.
Through it. You don't want to...
I'll have a chat. I'm not going to be a complete idiot about it. Mm-hmm. But I just mean that while it's on...
Mm.
I don't really, unless it's an emergency, want to do anything else.
Yeah, and it's 6 hours of play.
It's 6 hours.
Yeah. Right.
11 a.m. till 6 p.m.
So you realise that this is probably going to have an effect on your relationship.
Oh, don't worry. I've been doing the sums. When you consider that there's an Ashes series every 2 years, that sort of lines up with how long my relationships have been lasting.
Oh, you're a worry.
But, and you know, I know, I get it. If you're not into cricket, yeah, right, I get it. I remember when Mango and I were in Sri Lanka following the Aussies on a test tour, mm-hmm, yeah, and a lovely young French couple sat down, beautiful ground in Gaul there, mm, which Warnie put a lot of money into after the tsunami.
Yep.
So, you know, they're very, very warm towards the Australians. And a French couple sat down, and I wasn't going to be stupid about it and sort of give them the, you know, the minute details. But after about 5 minutes of trying to explain the game, they just went, you know what, don't worry. I don't think we'll ever watch this game again.
Oh, really? Yeah. So they actually went to watch a game of cricket.
They did. They did.
Good on them.
Well, it was sort of the only thing, the biggest thing going on in Gaul at that time. But I can't wait. 22 blokes or 22 women in white.
I love that at no point you've considered sacrificing this. You're like, 5 days, I'm locked in, this is what I'm going to do. Even though it's at the sacrifice of your relationship, you won't even take the time out.
When we got together, I said, I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
Right? And and it's warts and all. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty attentive in other aspects of the relationship.
Yep.
But I enjoy this.
Mm. Yeah, it's but, okay. Like, it takes longer than 5 days to get over you. She's going to be fine.
I know what I'm setting myself up for. There will be the burnt ashes of my relationship in an urn above the TV.
I know how to save it for you, bud. I'm going to day four. It's December 14, 15, 16. Come with me. You don't have to watch it on the telly.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Hey, the Perth test.
Matt's World. Clancy, Matt and Kimber's podcast at mix.com.au.
Now. The moment you've been waiting all morning for. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day on Mix 94.5.
Yeah, I see in the news a teacher who cruelly ordered his student to write a complete essay without using full stops has been handed a lengthy sentence.
Well, there's another Clancy, Matt and Kimber podcast. Done and dusted. Don't forget you can catch them on your good old FM radio too. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Perth's Mix 94.5.
Not even early mornings can stop Clancy, Matt and Kimber. If you want to put a stop to overpriced gas, switch to Origin. Find out more at originenergy.com.au.